Let's read these scriptures and then maybe we begin to pray. And there's this set of messages I'm listening to now. They're really, in fact, I wanted to share with everybody. It's by Andrew Womack. I've really been blessed by it. He said, the title is How to Receive God's Best. All right, it's a very nice set of messages. It's very nice. I've really been blessed by it. And though that's not the reason why I'm going to say what I want to say, but because I'm listening to it, it's affected my thinking. It's affecting the way I'm behaving in the last few days. All right? Now, one of the things he said, which let me just start with that, before I read the scripture I want to read. He explained that Christians often settle for, settle for anything. Actually, many years ago, I read a book by Derek Prince, Getting God's Best. That's the title of the book. And the first, he gave a number of rules, and he said the first thing, if you want God's best, is that you must want God's best. Are you getting my point? And then I began to explain it. And I don't know whether it's something like that that Andrew Womack used, but his own, the same thing. He started by explaining the fact that people often settle for what is far less than God's best. Are you getting the point? And that Christians should not settle for what is less than God's best. And I will say it all the time. It's not like he said, it's better to shoot for the stars and get the moon than to shoot for the earth and get it all. And I want to just encourage us as believers, we should push for that which is the best of that God will want us to have. I say it all the time, a believer's life is not average. A Christian's life is supposed to be different from that of the people around him. And the first place where it reflects is in the way you talk. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's the first place where it reflects. It's in how you talk. Like I was saying, I think I said on Saturday, about if you received our mails, I sent one out on the fight of faith. That you see, the most important thing you need to do is to fight. That is, of course, not outward fight now, but it's an inward fight. To ensure that your thinking is not corrupted. I like what Andrew Womack said. He said maybe one of the reasons why Adam and Co lived very long is that there was nobody there to teach them how to die on time. You know what I'm saying? That they lived very long because nobody was there to explain to them that somebody should. This is how when you have this kind of sickness, it's going to kill you. He said, "Mom, I come and meet you and say that. Look, have you seen the doctor? Oh, my auntie died from this very thing that's doing you right now." And what they are doing is that they are whipping up, they are stirring up fear, they are stirring up, they are taking hope away from you so that your body begins to cooperate and it begins to die. So he says, he was explaining a very beautiful message. I would like all of you to listen to it. I've been listening to it again and again in the last few days. It has really, really, really blessed me. But the summary of it is that we must always strive to get that which God wants us to have. And like we say all the time, it's a matter of progression. The path of the just is like the light of dawn, and it shines brighter and brighter. You may not be where you want to be now, but at least make sure you have already locked your eyes on the place where you want to be, and then God will start taking you through events. First, from learning, from understanding, and then, and practice, things begin to happen. You find that your path is being engineered to the place you have locked your eyes on. You may not be there now, but you are going there. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. You may not be there, but you are definitely going there. It's better than thinking that where you are right now is where you are supposed to be. I say it all the time. It's so crucial we understand this, that believers, our lives are not supposed to be average. They are not supposed to be average. We are supposed to have the experience of the power of God in our lives. When Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said to him, something was different. That's what I want to get to. He came to him and explained, look, I have noticed that the things happening around you is not common to people. Are you getting my point? And that's when Jesus now answered him and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into God's kingdom. What was he saying there? That this is the place I have entered into that's making these things that you see around me happen. So the striving of every believer is to work hard. Now we're talking about labor to enter into his rest. Is to work hard so that he will have entered into that kingdom so that the things, the manifestation of the power of God becomes normal. You understand my point? It becomes normal in his life. There's another thing I learned from one, although you've heard me say this before, but this is the first time I actually heard somebody really analyze it like that. Many years ago, I said it on radio, that God doesn't like working miracles. I don't know if you remember me saying that. I said, God doesn't like working miracles. I didn't say he doesn't work miracles, but that he doesn't like working miracles. Not because he doesn't have the capacity or that it is too hard for him, but because that is not what he expects. Now, let me quickly say, tell you what this man said. He distinguished between the blessing and the miracle. That what God wants you to work in is a blessing. That miracles are like this. They only come when you're in crisis. That is just enough to just tide you over the season of crisis. But blessings are different. Blessings come, they are abundant. Are you getting my point? They are plenty. They know they finish. They move from one generation to another. No man passes a miracle across the next generation. Do you follow the point? Yes. So God indeed works miracles in our lives, but what he wants more than that is for us to walk in his blessing at all times. This is an example he gave. Very interesting. He said there was a time he was driving his car in the cold. He had a little baby about a month old. He was with his wife. And the fuel finished. No, these are before the days of mobile phones. You know what it means? Fuel finished in the winter. You are stranded. You guys will freeze to death there. So he prayed, laid his hands on the car and started the car. And the car moved for the next 2 weeks. No fuel. The next 2 weeks, the car was working. And there was no fuel. That is, it stopped because there was no fuel. He prayed, laid his hands on the car, and the car moved for the next 2 weeks. He said, but one day he was telling the Lord, it's been a long time he saw those kind of manifestations. And the Lord said, do you want to return to those days? He said, no. No, I'm not interested. I don't want to go back to those days. I am not at all interested. Because he was always in crisis. He was always in crisis. So God used to come out miraculously. Said, but now it's not about fuel. Now when he needs the car, he goes there, he pays cash, collects the car. He doesn't buy cars on credit. Most Americans buy cars on credit, but he doesn't. Why? Because he has moved into a realm of blessing. There was a time he was walking in the, in quotes now, realm of the frequent miraculous. But that's because he was always in crisis. So God always had to dig him out of the crisis. But that was a season. But when he stepped into the blessing, after a while, you know, I've said this before, that something will happen to you one day. You've heard me say this before. That what looks miraculous now will become common. There are certain amounts of money if you get nice testimony. Pastor, please give me time. I need to share this testimony. Please. You first sing a song. At the end of the day, how much are we talking about? 150,000. A day will come. As I just, normal offering. God of me. That's normal church offering. You just behind the pocket, 200K, you drop it. And nothing, no. And my papa. And as you reach out, somebody say, hey, that thing we're talking about, they're about to leave tomorrow. You say you contribute something. Yes, it's true. Oh, I'll just quickly write a check. That's 250,000. And you don't even tell your wife when you get home. Because it's not a cause of discussion. You come and tell your wife you gave somebody 250K. It's no longer talk. I mean, it's talk. It's like, should we give them 20 million? You understand my point? Or give them 25? Should we just, okay, let's just round it so I won't have to give them next in 6 months. Make it 50. That's the kind of talk you'll be talking with your wife. Amen. Or with your husband. Amen. Said, no, it's not only men I'm talking about. So, but there was a time that you wanted to stop the whole service because God gave you 150,000. Are you getting my point? Why am I saying that? That, you see, let's, in our hearts, be ready to receive everything that God wants to pour into our lives. And that a time will come that they will become normal things. And that's what Andrew Womack was calling a blessing. Miracles are good, but that's not God's best. When the people of Israel were in the wilderness, there was plenty of manna, you know, coming, but then it doesn't last the next day. But the time of harvest, they will harvest the next year, they are still eating what they harvested. That one, the sign of the blessing is that it will not have finished before the next harvest will come. Are you getting my point? And listen, now, I'm going somewhere, actually. I'm just saying all this, I'll explain something. And believe me, I'm already praying for you, seriously. Amen. I mean that. that there is nobody that pays attention to these words that I have been speaking, which is the word of God, that his life or her life will be average.
Amen.
Now, my prayer is not that one. That one was settled before I started preaching. My prayer is that I want to start seeing it now.
Amen.
Which year are we in? Okay. 2000 and what? Which month? I wanted to say, sorry. Not yet. August. So how many months do we have before the end of the year? Okay, hey, four. Hey, why can't you bring four cars for me to dedicate? Do you get my point? In fact, one day, just say, ah, Pastor, this is just the first fruit. You know what I mean? You know, now, first fruit, let me tell you what first fruit means. Let me tell you first fruit, what it means. People say your home, your general salary is first fruit. It's not true. I don't happen to go by that. All right? First fruit is just the first thing you spend. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me explain what I'm saying. Let us assume now that you earn a salary, all right? Maybe they just gave you, let's just say 10,000 naira as an example. Somebody, you made some money, 10,000 naira. If you're dealing the principle of first fruit, now I'm not saying it's commanded for believers. A lot of those things are just adapted. We can adapt them the way we like, all right? So, but the way it was under the old covenant is that the first fruit is just the first expenditure you make out of that 10,000. It can be 20 naira, it can be 100 naira, it can be 1,000 naira, depending as you like it. The first expenditure, the idea that it must be the first. You are not allowed to pay rent first. You are not allowed to buy food first. I don't know whether I get my point. You are not allowed to do any other thing apart from take a portion of it, then it was the temple. All right? It could be small. The idea is that once the harvest is coming in, the first thing you take out of it, it goes to the temple. It wasn't about size. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not discussing that one in details. What I wanted to say is that in a short while, you just come and say, Pastor, see, this 50K is first fruit. That, are you getting what I'm saying? This is, I'm not saying I have been blessed. I'm not saying this is plenty money. I just mean that this is the first expenditure I'm making. That's why I told that whole story. So it's not as if you earn 50,000, that you get only 12 times that in a year. No. I mean, the money that you're dealing with may be half a million. It may be 200 million. Yeah, this is the first one that came out of the ATM. So just remember that, I shouldn't eat it first. Let me go and drop it somewhere. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
I said, I will see several testimonies like that before this year comes to an end.
Amen.
That is a prayer I'm praying. That is a prayer I'm praying. That you will live long. I will settle that one long ago. That you will prosper abundantly. It was settled long ago. But that my current prayers are, I've been talking for a long time. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've been doing what? Talking for a long time. There should be a manifestation. I mean, sometimes, and I say, maybe the time is not yet. Yes, God does things like that once in a while. So when the time is not yet, you know what he does? He gives what the Bible calls an earnest of the spirit. Let me just show you what I'm going to do. Lest you get discouraged. Yes, he does that. He does that. He say, maybe the time, I say, I know the time is not yet. But first, let me do something to let you know what I am going to do in that time that you say is not yet. That's assuming you are right. That's what I'm saying. Because from today, I want to just regularly listen to this. What I want to begin to do today, from today, for the next few years, I don't know how long it will last, maybe for the next 1 year, every Tuesday, we will talk about the power of God. What did I say? We'll just talk about the power of God. We'll pray about it. We'll see everything, but we'll just be centering our talk around the power of God. Do you know why? The more you talk about it, the more you talk about it, the more you will think about it. The more you talk about it and think about it, the more you form expectations based on it, and the more you do that, the more you see it. Are you getting my point? Yes, so we'll just talk, we'll pray, we'll give thanks. The idea is just to keep talking and keep, how do I say it, tuning our hearts, all right, into the frequency through which the power of God will be manifested. I will tell stories, tell testimonies, just see what this, let's just look at what the Lord said about the power of God. Let's read this one. I'll read a few. First of all, let's just read from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from the book of Luke chapter 24. Now he said, that's from verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. That is, you saw these things. You have experienced these things. You saw them happen. And I said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, please, bear that one in mind. Just quickly, let's read a continuation, apparently, of that in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, let me just read them. Okay, let's read from verse 1. I'll rush till I get to where I'm going. The first account I composed, O Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, please notice that. He was speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. That referred to things that God wanted to do in their lives and in their environment. I want to apply it to today. The things that we have been discussing, we'll talk about the sayings of God. Those are the things of the kingdom of God. Those are the things that God wants to manifest by his power in your life. Are you getting my point? Remember, when Nicodemus came, he said, I've noticed that great works, great things are happening in your life. And Jesus said, except a man goes through certain experiences, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So what the Lord Jesus did was to speak to his apostles, his close disciples, concerning the things that had to do with how he walked the way he walked. So that now that he has gone, are you getting what I'm saying? They can continue to walk like that. Because you must understand something. While he was around, they were living, shall I use the expression, in his shadow. Are you getting my point? Yes, they were operating purely by the power that, can I use this word also, that he downloaded from heaven. They didn't know how to do it. They did not know how he managed it, in quotes. They were just, anything he told them, they did, they saw the results. Are you getting my point? He would tell them, that would say that he gave them power, and he told them, you go, two by two. And the power he gave them, they were able to use it, and they got results. They were casting out demons in his name when he was around. Now, he was not explaining to them, now that I'm leaving, I'm teaching you the things that you do so that you can walk naturally in that realm, even though I'm not physically around. You are getting what I'm saying? So the Bible says that he was telling them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, verse 4, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, that's just what I want to read. The fact that he said, even though they had the zeal, they had the willingness to move, but he said, you are supposed to wait, all right, that so that you will receive the promise that I made, you heard me talk about. And the idea is that the things you want to do, listen to this, the manifestations of God that you want to experience, the manifestations of God by which you will demonstrate the fact that you are not an average person. He said to them, it will come when you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, there's a reason why I'm reading this. Let me put it like this. I believe very strongly, you know, in Nigeria, recently they were talking about banking crisis. Are you getting my point? Now, I don't mean this as criticism. Are you getting my point? Now, Khan gathered together and began to antagonize and denounce what Sanusi was doing. Like I said, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm not criticizing Sanusi. I'm not criticizing Khan. I'm not criticizing Christians. I heard many Christians talk. But I am persuaded that we talk too much on things that are not important. I don't know whether I heard what I said. I am persuaded that the reason why we have so much mouth to talk is because there's nothing else to talk about. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Go and read this book, Daughter of Destiny. All right? The man, I read this book all the time, and I'm drinking of the spirit that is inside there. Are you getting my point? It's John G. Lake. I can't believe, all right, that John G. Lake will be alive in this day and age. You give him a microphone, he'll be discussing banking crisis. I don't know whether I hear what I said. The man will be telling the number of dead people he saw raised. That's discussion. Listen, if you give somebody a microphone, we are discussing it, they want to take our banks. There's no bank that was church bank. I hope you understand. There's no bank. The MDs and directors went to church meant nothing. Do you get my point? Yeah, in fact, let me not get there. Let me not go there. If I start now, I will stay there. All right? Now, I'm going to bring up an issue. I believe, I'm persuaded about it, that many of these things are distractions for the body of Christ. Many of these things are signs that we are not focused on what we are supposed to be focused on. Listen, I don't mean that I'm not, of course, we're all together, amen? I have my issues with all of them. Like, I have my own personal issues I'm having to deal with, all right? Because I ask questions all the time. I remember when I was very young, the thing we knew Archbishop Benson that was after was not actually the size of the Agbada initially. Yes, it wasn't. It was that he would go for crusades and the blind eyes will see. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Yeah. I believe when the church starts gathering and we start shouting and negotiating, you can't take our banks, you can't take our banks, it is because we have lost power. Are you getting my point? That's why we have turned to political talk. That we will gather and be supporting one candidate. I'm sorry, it's a sign that we don't know what we are doing anymore. Support this man, he will favor Christians. As far as I'm concerned, it's a sign that we don't know what we are doing. I believe the problem, you know, we are talking about they want to take banks. Listen, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. If you like, take all the banks, in quote, let us assume they were Christian banks. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not saying they were Muslim banks, did I say so? I'm just saying they were banks. They were neither Christian, nor Muslim, nor Hindu, Hare Krishna. They were just banks. But let us assume we're dealing with Christian banks. Are you getting me? And then you took all of them away. Listen, this is a manifestation of the power of God in the life of believers. If Lot took every good land that Abraham could see, God will pour water upon the one that Abraham took. What am I saying? If we carried our anointing to community banks, in 2 years, it will be bigger than all the banks somebody took away from you. Are you getting the point I'm making? I don't think we should be crying like children that somebody took our feeding bottle. Do you get the direction I'm driving at? I think it is time for us to focus our attention on what? The power of God and the manifestation thereof. Listen, there has never been a time in which the church moved because the pastors drove very nice cars. You know me, those of you are very close, you know I don't like cars that are not nice. I like very nice cars. If I had plenty of money, I would buy very, very big cars that I would take 2 parking spaces down there. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Did I say so? But that does not preach the gospel. That one is a lie. It does not preach the gospel. Do you get my point? It's not supposed to be the focus of the church of God. Now, the power of God can manifest and bring prosperity. You're getting my point? But I think that what has happened is that because the church prospered after a while, you know, we've gotten used to prosperity and we have become complacent. We have gotten used to prosperity. We have become complacent. We are not preaching the gospel of God with power anymore. Pastors practice how to stand on the pulpit. Which direction their lapel should be facing. When they should unbutton. When they should rebutton. I'm not joking about it. How to strategically position the ministry for growth. What do you call growth? They stop going to the other church. They start coming to your church. Yes? A friend of mine the other day was organizing a program in his church, and he prayed a prayer that very few people ever pray. God, please, I want this certain number of people to come, but make sure they are unbelievers. That was his prayer. That God, okay, what will you do for me in this program after they spent money? I would like this certain number of people to come, give their life to Christ, who currently don't go to any church. The Lord did that for him. By the time they took the number, the data of those other who were for the first time or who gave their lives to Christ, they were people that were not going to church. They just came from market. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is proper church growth. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Oh, I can't even go into it. When he explained to me how that happened, it was by the demonstration of the power of God. And what I want to begin to do this season is to start refocusing our minds on the fact that the power of God is real. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
that the power of God is what?
Real.
Is real. That one day soon, you will rush and come and tell me a story of something you saw that you did not know used to happen in modern days. Say amen. Say it again.
Amen.
I remember the story of our brother the other day who I'll tell you here. Arm robbers attacked him, and he closed his eyes and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, die." And the thief fell down, and he drove away. it is good that, praise God, it didn't hurt me, but I think I prefer that his testimony. In the name, me? You point gun at me? In Jesus' name, collapse. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Are you getting my point? I think we should start doing hospital visitations. Not do Ogadima. You know, I told you I was listening to Andrew Womack. He told a story of when his son died. And I was there for 5 good hours. That was even before he got there. Alright? When they called him, of course, fear will come. But he said there's one scripture that came to his mind. And if I heard that one today. I was telling my wife that I'd never seen from that angle. That you can't help thoughts of, you know, fear, yes, coming to your mind. I mean, they told you that your son just died. Now, you're not talking about a small boy. That son had a daughter the following year. So you're not talking about a small child. This stress tried to come. He said, a scripture now came to his mind. Take no thought for the morrow, saying, what shall we eat? Are you getting my point? So if the thoughts come, I won't say anything about it. So when the thoughts of worry, of mourning, of, oh, this is the end, comes, I won't say anything about it. I won't share with his wife, I won't say it to anybody. He starts confessing scriptures and giving God thanks. Then prophecies that he heard before. Long story about it, all right? But I can't go into it. They began to come to his mind. So he began to repeat those prophecies. By the time he got to the hospital, the boy had gotten up. He had been dead for 5 hours. They had already taken him, tied the tag to his leg to say, this is the guy who's lying down here. He can't identify himself anymore. And he got up. By the time he got there, he greeted everybody welcome. Are you getting my point? You are getting what I'm not explaining. That is, those things happen. Did I hear an amen? And I think the reason, the less of them we think about, that's why Jesus began to speak to his disciples. The Bible says that he spoke to them for how many days? 40 days. And he was talking about things concerning the kingdom of God, which was what he said to Nicodemus that he was working in. Nicodemus said, how come all these things are happening around you? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. What does it mean to see, to understand, to perceive, to understand the reality? I told you, I was talking to you by a colleague of mine the other day. I told him straight, you don't believe in God. He said, what do I mean? I said, you claim to believe in God, you deny his power entirely. You don't believe he can do anything. He said to me that you are saying that God stopped, that the sun stopped because one man wants to win a battle. I didn't answer him. I said, you obviously do not believe in God. What am I saying? There are people who they can't conceive that certain things can happen. And many of us, that's the way we are. And the reason is simple, though. The reason is simple. Because the ability comes from information. Yes. Look, what has never entered into your heart, and there are a few ways by which they come in, yeah? Sight, mostly, all right? Touch and all of that. But when you're talking about information, either you read about them, or you see them, or you hear about them. Are you getting my point? There are things you see or you hear. Do you follow? Now, so when one has never seen or heard, it has not filled your heart to begin to expect those things to happen. I told my wife, asked me a question once, what if Daniel had disappeared from where he was praying? And the second day, the angel said he was heard on the first day. And Daniel was there for 21 days. You and I know that the prayer he prayed 20 from the second day to the 21st day did not bring the angel. That's a matter of fact. Because on day one, the angel moved. So my wife asked many years ago, say, okay, what if Daniel had gone away? I said, the angel most likely will have turned back. Why? Not because he didn't have the power to come. No, he didn't need that prayer to get the power to come. The angel will have turned back because there's nobody waiting for him anymore. Do you get my point?
Yes.
If you are rushing to go and meet somebody in Abakwa, they say, okay, you're supposed to give him something. The guy said, look, my flight is at 6 o'clock, so I'm coming. Then, by the time you reach 82 deep there, the man calls, no, I can't wait anymore. Are you not going to turn? He said, no, now I'm at the airport, I'm about to fly off. Hey, you will turn, so we'll see another time now. So if Daniel had left the place, the angel wouldn't have bothered. Why waste the spiritual energy fighting one prince or... You understand my point? As Michael is coming, he say, Michael, forget. The guy, don't forget. That is, Daniel, don't forget. So, Mike, let's go back. So when he comes back again, we'll start again. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this, the extra length of time he stayed, what that did for the angel was to keep the angel coming. Because somebody was waiting. That's the power of his expectation. That's the power of what? His expectation. Listen, just to make a point, you will get a... Listen to this. Somebody will get a job in a government that is with all the corruption in Nigeria, and you won't give somebody a dime. Yes, you don't give somebody a dime. And you tell them ahead of time, I'm not giving you a dime. And the man said, you won't get it. So boy, they try me. No, I think we should start speaking with some certain degrees of boldness. I believe that you have learned enough of the word of God to know that nobody can do you anything. Tell the man, I'm not giving you. At the end of the day, you leave, you go away. Your life does not depend on what he's saying. It does not depend on that job. It does not depend on that single contract. So you can put your hand in the power and say, forget. I know they do. I am not participating in the corruption that is going on in this nation. Don't give me the job I'm not taking. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about the power of God. Then you wake up one morning and you see the man who swore that, watch it. You will never, next morning you tell him, don't come out up. Say the man don't retire by force. And you go, you call him and say, oh, God, how far? The man doesn't sound so pressing. You saw it on the news, so you know he's been removed though. But sometimes you should rub this thing in. No, once in a while you should. You just call the guy and say, good morning, sir. I just let me check up on how that thing is doing. So who's on the line? It's me, sir, Angel Mike. I deliver your names. And the man said, okay, call me later. I said, I ain't calling you. That's in your mind. I'm not calling you later. That's okay, no. Call him later. In the evening, you call him again. Say, okay, hey, how far now? You know what you're trying to tell him? Shebi, I told you. I've called you three times. Of course, he won't tell you. After a while, he starts answering your call. You've gotten the point. You can't tell the next guy. There was a job I bidded for here. I know mine is the lowest bid. Because I didn't factor in Paje for anybody. Am I getting it? The last guy who threatened, you know where he is right now. You are hearing what I'm saying? One student should dare a lecturer and just watch a big man being sacked. It's good. It's good for your faith. Let God do something dangerous on your behalf. I'm not saying you should kill anybody, but if he wants to, fine. I mean, you didn't pray for that, did you? Not your fault. Hey, wait. was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah that prophesied and somebody died? Jeremiah shouted, what? Was Jeremiah? If he didn't prophesy, he said, let him go.